It's your filter. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier. I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me. We're out of here.
And a five, and a four, and a three, and a two, and a... Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm Jim Norton. He's Matt Serra. And hey, you're lucky.
That's really awful. Hey.
Oh.
Art, listen. Is it true that you're auditioning for the role of the...
Okay, now am I auditioning? Now Matt's getting emotional, so you're weeping at the beauty of this role.
I think I gotta lay down for a second. Okay, let me do it again. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's pretend that didn't happen. We could edit this
later. Sure, yeah, cut it out. You know, let's start over. And a five, and a four, and a three, and a two, and a go ahead, Matt.
Jimmy.
Yes,
buddy. Is it true you're auditioning for that the
auditioning?
Movie? Oh.
You didn't say auditioning, you said you're auditioning.
Is it true you're auditioning for that movie? What is it? Oh, fucking, it was a Casper joke. It was like the dad of Casper. You're white as fuck, my friend. Are you allergic to sunlight?
No.
Are you a fucking vampire?
I'm darker than I look a little bit, but yeah, first of all, I am very pale.
Jimmy, I think there's something almost wrong with your computer. The background where it's black and it's white, it's like your Zartan from the old G.I. Joe. You're like, if you blend into the fucking thing, close your eyes against that white background.
Well, it's silver. Hold on. Let me see if I tried it in the background.
What are you, fucking Silver Surfer's little sidekick or some shit?
Let me try. I'm going to try another background, and you tell me if the colors.
Put yourself in a cloud. Do it. Put yourself
What's
in
that?
A cloud.
No,
put
not a cloud.
In I just want to cloud. See.
Just, now tell me. Okay. Now, is the.
We're going to cut it out. We're going to cut this out of the show.
Right. How about that? How's that?
There you go. That's something that you're deaf. That, you know what that is?
What?
It's unrealistic because you haven't seen a beach in fucking years. You're whiter than Elon Musk right now.
By the way, this is not a beach. This is the wallpaper from Scarface in Frank Lopez's office. Now I'm trying to find my UFC one to go back to.
And then he's like, easy, Tony.
Don't go. You want to tell Vera?
Don't go too far, Tony.
Oh, Mel the cop, yeah.
The cop is pretty cocky. And Jimmy, listen to me. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm almost extra tan. Bang! I'm all over the place. I'm back to teaching.
Oh, good.
Back to teaching. And it's fun. I'm happy. Jimmy, it's what I do. It's a lifestyle.
You're also, I know you had your surgery. When is your other surgery? Like, when can you fully, can you walk on this now, or are you still on crutches?
No, I'm walking, dude. I'm the only thing that's a little, that takes a little bit of time is going upstairs. I could go up with, like, but it's, the quad still needs some work. So up and down the stairs, I got to take my time with. Sometimes I'll do the one leg at a time, you know. But walking, straight up walking, I'm walking better than I did before the surgery. I could walk to you to Penn Station, and I'm not.
Good.
That's amazing. I love my titanium knee.
Good, man.
I love it. I fucking love it, Jimmy.
And you're going to do the other one.
I'm fully flexible, dude. I could get my ass to the grass, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I could, you know?
That's good.
I was worried about, you know, me and my jiu-jitsu. Sometimes I got to squat down. It'll affect my sexual positions when I like to get freaky with the missus. I'm not going to talk about it.
Sure, no, but we can do our own our own imagination.
Your imaginations, Jimmy. I mean, like a fucking silverback. But I like to get that out of your head. Barking gorilla. But listen, my point is this: I'm flexible as fuck. Oh, and listen, we're going to talk about Chito Vera versus Dominic Cruz.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that right now. I just want to remind you and everybody that there is a Matt Movies Minute. I hate saying myself in the third person, but that's
sure.
A Matt Movies Minute that we haven't done for a minute. Jimmy.
I know, but you're saying movies plural. It's not a Matt Movies Minute. It's Matt's Movie Minute. Movies Minute. You're putting the S's in weird places. Matt's Movie Minute. We'll do it. Yes, I would love to hear about it.
Listen, no. You know where that came from?
Where?
That came from me talking about your complexion. I think you look beautiful. Jimmy, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not very good with what's the thing without words.
Yes, it's okay.
Matt's movie. It could be a more than one movie, but we're not. You're right. We haven't done it in so long that I forgot what it was called. Yeah. But it is Matt's movie minute. We're going to talk about one movie. And that movie is Bullet Train. Stop thinking of a fucking weird.
Okay.
Bullet Train with Brad Pitt and a bunch of other people and a big cast.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're trying to say.
What? big what?
A big ensemble.
You're a fucking idiot, Jimmy. This is what you do. You're an intellectual bully to me.
I'm a bully.
Nah, you use your superior intelligence and your little wit and your goof on. I can't pronounce some shit. And ensemble.
Yes. That's correct.
Ensemble cast. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you. But anyway, we'll talk about Bullet Train at the end. This is what, let's just talk about the fight first.
Yeah.
Can we go right into it now?
Yes.
Well, you go ahead. You go first, Thor.
I want to say, first of all, I mean, I love it. You can't not love Marlon Vera. I thought Dominic Cruz looked great. I even though he got dropped three times, I mean, Vera has a lot of power, and Cruz does not have that power. But I thought that he did some really, after he got dropped in the first round, I thought Cruz was going to win the fight because there was one moment where he was just throwing left and right combinations very quick, and he backed Vera up to the cage. And I was worried that if he went in, Vera was going to catch him again coming in. But he wound up throwing a kick at Vera when he was up against the cage. I just thought he's throwing everything. Everything is landing. He looks great. I thought that he was going to win the fight, even though you knew Vera had a power advantage. I also didn't think necessarily it was fair that Vera said that he criticized Dom's style. I thought Dom's style looked very good. He just doesn't have Marlon Vera's power. If he had Marlon Vera's power, that fight would have been over quickly because he was landing a lot of punches.
Well, it's power and it's accuracy.
Yeah, and he was kicking, yeah.
And, you know, I'm so impressed. This is what I'm impressed with. I'm impressed with everything that that Marlon Chito Vera have done.
Yes.
And how he's been looking lately. But in this fight particular, I thought once I saw Dom take him down and Chito was just relaxed, he's as calm as anybody. He's one of the calmest fighters I ever seen.
He's a black belt, right?
I believe so, but yeah. It doesn't matter. As far as getting submissions off the back and whatnot, his jiu-jitsu in general is very dangerous.
Yeah.
But some guys, they fall victim of having a very dangerous guard, not getting beat up from there, being dangerous from the back, either submitting or hurting people from there. But you could be in jeopardy of losing rounds.
Right. Okay?
So when I saw Dom get that first takedown, which he's very good at, he lifts up the leg and he spins you around like, you know what I mean? It was like a modified double leg type thing, you know? He's very good at it. He's used it in past fights. When I seen him do that and settle in the guard, I go, okay, this is going to be the theme here of what's going to happen, you know? And this is what I thought. I'm like, this is going as to what I thought would happen. I didn't expect Dom getting touched and you know, tagged and getting hurt immediately, like in that, you know what I mean? Like, I'd expect that, but I did expect him to mix in the takedowns. I thought that would make the difference in the fight. But once I seen the sprawl, I don't think I've ever seen, I got to go back to watch his other fights because I seen him getting taken down or accept being taken down because of his guard. But that sprawl was beautiful.
Yeah.
When he did not want to go down, when he said, fuck, you're not taking me down, Dom was trying to end those same takedowns in. He just shut him down and continued to pursue him. And he's got his arms, hands up, and he's just, it's got to be draining for a guy like Dom that can move the way he does and throw what he does at the volume he does. It's very taxing, but that's the way Dom fights. And he was doing it, and he was landing. Chito took those punches. It's as if he never got hit.
Yep.
He would take 3 or 4 to one of his. His one would fucking hurt Dom. It was wild, man. So it's like, what's going to land? Is Dom going to end up, is something going to get through? Is he going to get something to make Chito respect him enough to be worried about something that he's throwing? but he couldn't give him anything, you know?
I also, what did you think, like, how many main events has Cheeto had? Is this his second main event, or has he had more than that? Because I'm wondering, sometimes with guys in a five-round fight, you wonder if they're pacing, because, you know, Cruz has fought in so many main events, and he's so used to five, you wonder if maybe Cheeto is pacing himself through the first two and throwing a little bit less. Like, as he said, he didn't go in for the kill after the first one because he knew he had plenty of time and he learned something from watching the Munoz fight. So you wonder, maybe that was, he was just pacing himself a little bit.
I mean, pacing himself. I mean, this is the thing.
Not throwing more punches because he wanted to be as fresh as he was in the fourth round.
Cheeto, this is what I feel. As far as with Cheeto's patience we're talking about, just how patient.
Just because he was being patient, but I wonder, because if that was a three-round fight, Dominic would have won that. It was 2-1. He won 1 and 2, and Cheeto run round three, and round four obviously knocked him out. But I'm wondering if his pacing would have been different if it was a three-round fight, more aggressive.
I think he'd have to. There'd be more urgency. Jason Perillo, they have a very throwback relationship, coach and fighter and coach. They have a very strong relationship. I hung out with Jason Perillo before, and we were chilling. We went back to the room, and this is when Cheeto was fighting, I think, Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
And he was calm as fuck. His coach, Jason, is in there, Perillo baking cookies, giving me cookies. We're hanging out, and they're talking about the fight. Yes, coach, this and that. Everything you see on camera, that respect, that's real.
Yeah,
and he trusts in what his coach is telling him, and he listened. The second it was over, he's like, "Look, coach said, and with this, and with something strong, and with a kick," and he listened to him, and he got it done.
Well, he also said that I'm assuming it was Perillo sent him a photo in the Munoz fight of Dom ducking that way, like to the right, and I think Munoz did it through a body kick at that point. But I think that he saw that. He said he didn't put any words with it. He just kind of sent him that and said he knew what he meant by it. And then he said something at the end of the third.
I love that. I love that, man. Cheeto Vera, you asked about how many how many main events he's had.
Yeah.
That when he fought Sugar Sean O'Malley, he handles pressure extremely well. Yeah. That's easy to say about guys fighting in the UFC because they all should, but they all don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even the seasoned guys, when all eyes are on them in the main event, like when he fought Sugar Sean O'Malley, he knew it was the Cheeto show. So when it ended, he wasn't acting surprised. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't listen to any outside noise. He doesn't get caught up with that fucking shit. He doesn't buy into anything. He has a hard working mentality. And I bet you today he's in the fucking gym. I bet he's in
Yeah,
the
I bet you he is too. Yeah.
He's just a fucking beast, and he's not there to make friends. He's got his family. He's there to take care of his family and his people. And look at the two stoppages he just did between Frankie Edgar. And these are guys that are hard to hit. They're all over the place.
Beautiful kick, yeah.
They're a little older than they were, but Frankie Edgar, two kicks. Frankie Edgar.
And Dom, yeah.
Excuse me. And Dom. I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm excited to see what's next. He's just saying, hey man, I'm not even going to ask for the title. I'm just put people in front of me. It's going to be inevitable. That's his attitude.
Yeah.
He's just taking care of business, just stacking up bodies.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, Take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 stake. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. Also, Matt, I'm sure you saw a great featherweight fight. Nate Landwehr beats David Onama. Really, a majority decision. I was kind of surprised. I thought Landwehr clearly won that. I was surprised that someone had that as 28-28.
First of all, let me ask you something. Did Onama take that on short notice or no?
That I don't know.
Guys, make sure you have fucking producers. I don't know if he did or not. If he didn't, then, you know, my bad. But I just want to make sure he did. They're going to look that up.
Yeah, right? And by the way, I just don't – again, Onama fought well, and he hurt Landwehr too. He threw some really good punches, especially the first round. And Nate was – Nate did a couple of weird things, though. Like, there were times where, especially in the final round – he had him, he has Onama down, and they was very tired. They're both tired. It looked like he was going to go for a crucifix. And then he stands up, and he's playing to the crowd too much. And it's like he's like doing this thing. It's like you're not a fucking Roman. Like, and then Onama comes in and tags him. And it was, again, clearly Landwehr won the fight. But I thought, like, you can't do that. It's great to be an entertainer. But if you're in the final round and you have 40 seconds left and you're about to – you're getting some ground and pound done. Letting the guy up so you can please the crowd, I think is going to cost him. It cost Anderson Silva the title, and that's eventually going to cost you.
Now, I think how many judges gave it 10-8 the last round? Is that right?
I don't know. He had a 28-28. I didn't think any of the rounds were 10-8 though.
Which fight am I thinking of? Now maybe I'm plugged in. I don't want to.
I think you're thinking of another.
I might be. Let me look.
Yep, I'm going over all the fights now.
It was one where there was a – might have been on the fucking – it might have been on the card. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at the prelims too. Are you sure it wasn't on last week?
No, man. There was one there where there was two 10-8s in the last round where one judge gave it
– that was this week?
You never know with me. You never fucking know. But my point is this. Nate fucking did amazing. Nate the train. Can I just say one thing? I would really like to just so people realize this kid's attitude and how funny he is. I like his what was it, his tweet?
What did he say in his tweet?
What was this, his tweet when he goes, I showed up playing? No, that's not his tweet. Oh, here's his tweet. His tweet from Nate Landwehr is my mama ain't raised no bitch, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I fought, I conquered. Fight of the night, Nate the Train style. Did you hear the first part? My mama ain't raised no bitch, baby.
Yes.
Say it.
And hold on. I'm going over. It wasn't 277. It's driving me nuts, these 10-8 rounds, because something tells me I'm remembering this from like last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know why
there's a fight that I'm trying to.
2-10-8.
Let me look. Let me look at my pictures.
Yeah.
My big pictures.
My memory is just, I can't remember who won what round or how many.
Well, first of all, but we're going to get the prelims after. We'll talk about that because I got to talk about some of these. There was some nice stoppages, man, in a row, like bang, bang, some of these guys. But we'll talk about that after. Man, I don't know. I can't think of it right now. But I could have swore there was a 10-8, is what I'm saying. There was two 10-8s, and that way they said, all right, he won the first two rounds, and he had the 10-8. There was one draw, and then it was dude.
Yeah, I don't. Well, there was the draw in Landwehr. One of the judges did have a 28-28, which I was surprised. I really thought Nate won all three rounds. I thought that should have been a unanimous decision.
Hey, man. I thought so too. I'm confusing fights. Sometimes I hear the things, but my point is this: I thought Nate did phenomenal, but at the same time, dude, I like Onama. I like David Onama. I thought he was I thought he showed a lot of promise. It's just, I don't think he could have, he matched that pace, man. I think the pace wore him down. And I also, listen, this is another thing. I have a theory on this. And it might be a little weird. But then again, I'm a little weird. A Star Wars show. Okay. I think when you look good, you feel good. And when you feel good, you fight good. I think Nate, the Train Weir, did so phenomenal because of his new haircut.
I mean, a lot of people would say that's ludicrous, but you might be right.
Jimmy, I like the way you're, I like that you're attacking what I just said.
No, I'm not. I'm agreeing with you.
I like that you said that. This is the deal. Let me point something out to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little tiny, tiny little story about this. Okay. Like you, my little buddy. I want to pitch you a little cheek. All right, listen. To look good is to feel good. Now, you're taking this from a former fighter.
It's a good point.
Let's go to UFC number one. UFC number 69 with myself. And I get my buddy Abe, he owns my buddy, my black belt. Same one that we went out with Molly, Meatball McCann and all. You know, he's a good friend of mine. He owns a barbershop.
Okay. And
Greg the barber used to fucking give me a money fade. Beautiful. It's when I had hair.
Sure.
Jimmy, I'll make this story a lot quicker than I'm making it right now. Hold on. So the point is this. He went to fucking Houston, Greg the barber. You can watch this on the DVD. Sure. And he's there. Before I fight, he's cracking his jokes. He's giving me that money fade. I felt like a little, ooh, it's like a little, it felt a little rough to the, it felt so, I looked so good.
It felt like a champion's haircut.
It sure did, Jimmy. And it was. So then let's fast forward, okay? The rematch. Now look, you could blame a million things. Sure. I don't want to blame a haircut. Yeah. That would be ludicrous.
No.
But the facts are the facts. Listen to me. Sure. Greg the barber. He has a past. He tried to go to Canada. I don't want you to judge Abe either. They got
flagged at the border. Yeah,
they were in the. I think they shared a cell with Uriah Faber. Believe it or not, Uriah Faber couldn't get over there for some reason. I swear to God, they were in there with him. You know, and my friend Abe is funny because he's like, I'm sitting there and we're in a cell with Uriah Faber and. You know, Greg the ball, you know, Abe trains, but Greg's like a big fat guy. He kind of looks like Fat Joe, you know? And he's like, yeah, I can't wait to get out of here, stop training. And then fucking Abe's like, oh, you're embarrassing the fuck out of me. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Greg the ball, you fat fuck. Anyway, the point is his.
Why did you get the haircut before you left?
I did. But I need that shit every week. I went to Canada a couple weeks earlier.
Oh, I see.
I'm getting a little grown out. It's okay when I got my cap on. I'm not fighting with a cap on. Does it make a difference? Did it cost me the title? Absolutely not.
That didn't help.
It did not help. It didn't help that Greg the Barber didn't make there to give me my money feed. So let's get back to Nate the Train, okay?
Yes.
Nate, let's go. Let's compare his hair from the other night. Okay? Producers, pop up some pictures. They're not going to do it. But listen, I want to see his picture from the other night. Look at his haircut. Look at his fucking haircut. And then go back. And look at Sonny. It looks like he's losing his hair. It's kind of long on the sides. It's fading in the middle. In the prior fights, did not look nearly as good.
It did not help. You're not wrong. It didn't help.
I would be like, who's this young kid breaking on the scene? I don't even know how old he is. But with the old haircut, he looked older. Sure. With the new haircut, he looks younger. All right, Jimmy. We wasted everybody's time. Everybody, the last 10 minutes, I apologize.
I disagree. I think it was... I think it was a good point. I don't think it was wasting anybody's time, actually.
Jimmy, what does it say that my kids got me? What does it say?
Dad joke champion. Yep.
That's my mug. A lot of times my kids, they did training. Yep. They did dance the same day. And I go, how you feeling? And then they tell you, what happens when you work out? What do you say sometimes, Jimmy?
When I work out?
Yeah.
My tits hurt. That's what I say when I'm done because I'm fat.
Jimmy, I need you to work with me.
Okay, what do I say when I work out?
Yeah, you work out, you feel like all like, ugh.
I feel like a million bucks.
You're being mean.
No, that's what I say.
What happens to your muscles after you work out?
I know what I say. I go, Oh boy, my muscles are so sore. I don't know what to do.
Wait, so say it again. What's the matter? You what?
My muscles, if they were any more sore, I'd win a sore muscles award.
Can you just say that you're sore? Can you just say that you're sore?
I'm sore.
Hi, sore. I'm Zeus. Ba, 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 ba. I love it. Anyway, Jimmy.
By the way, we should, Matt. I believe the notes made an error, but they pointed out that Nuna Nunez, of course, formerly Nuna Anzorov, made a mistake. They made an error. It's Nina. And she's retiring, and she's retired after that fight at 11-7. She's 5-4 in the UFC, age 36. She wants more kids, and she said that recovery was fucking brutal after the last one. So congratulations to Nina for a good career and a great family life, and she's married to a killer, the champion. So they have a lot of probably good years with more babies ahead of them. So congratulations to a good career.
Yeah. Yeah, congrats to Nina. Yeah, Nina fought. She fought fine. The crowd got a little greedy because they had some really nice knockouts. Yeah. There's some nice finishes earlier that we'll talk about later.
Sure. But,
you know, and since we're talking about it, Cynthia Calvillo, she needs to really, when she was with the Alpha team with Uriah Faber's, it was the Alpha Males. I think it's just
the
team Alpha now because the you know, they changed it up because it's not only for males over there.
Sure.
Plug.
Alpha, yeah.
Yeah, Team Alpha, Uriah Faber. When she was with them early in her career, I remember a fight of hers. I'm not sure. I think it was her versus Pearl Gonzalez. I'm not sure. But she was ferocious, Jimmy. I remember being like, yo, she's scrappy standing up and she's going forward. She's always going forward. So now either she fell out of love with the game or something has to be reunited in her because she's showing way too much caution. She's not going in there saying, I'm going to count you're mine. She's going in there being like, all right, we're kickboxing. I'm going to try to take you. She's trying to be calculated. She's fighting. She's fighting, but it's about attitude sometimes, Jimmy. A lot of times it's about attitude. And I don't see that same attitude in her, so I don't know what's up with her. And I like her a lot.
Sure.
I'm not attacking her, but this is the hard truth of it. I think somebody close to her better grab her and be like, look, show her the earlier fight. Say, look at you. You're fucking ferocious. You're not accepting. You're not coming at you. When she broke on the scene, she was ferocious. So something's up with her. And I think she's got to get that straight before she gets back in there. Because, you know, she was a little upset with the decision, but it's like, did you win? Did you not? That wasn't the same Cynthia
that
fought earlier on that was almost a straight up berserker. I mean, technical, but she looked like someone out of Team Alpha. Like she was a beast. You know what I mean? So it's okay to be calculated and then maybe, you know, but like something somewhere changed her approach and it's not a great thing. So she's going to have to work on that. With all due respect, because I do like her.
Sure. Yeah. You just didn't. You saw something
like a fighter too.
She should address. Yeah.
I'm not seeing the fire there. You know.
Also, buddy, we should. We would be negligent if we didn't. Also, at 38 years old, our pal Uriah Hall stepped down, and he was retired from MMA, and he finishes with 17-11. He's 10-9 in the UFC. I mean, he beat Thiago Santos Anderson. Beat Chris Lieben, Antonio Carlos Jr. And he said, with great sadness, I'll be stepping away from the greatest sport in the world. And, you know, it's kind of a long paragraph statement, but he says, thanks to Jim Norton and Matt Serra for always being supportive.
Yes.
That was nice.
You know what? With all kidding aside, he loves us. He's one of those guys that's like a real friend of the show.
I know. He's such a good guy.
When we were out in the past, he co-hosted before. And I believe, especially if he's going to have more time on his hands, he'll do it again.
I think so, too.
We have fun with Uriah. I like Uriah a lot, man. Like I don't know. Like, he's such a good guy. I wonder what he's going to do now.
I'm going to guess and teach, unless he's got something else lined up. I mean, obviously, he's still a young guy. He's only 38, so maybe he'll teach. Who knows?
Could we get him in movies?
Can he act? Does he like acting?
Yeah, what is it? What do you got to say? You have to say lines like this. I don't like him. I think he stinks. Like that kind
of
shit.
Like he's. That was really the linchpin of the film. A lot of people said he stinks, and I don't like him. That changed the tone of Spider-Man.
That was you in Spider-Man.
Yes, it was.
You look strong in that one, Jimmy. What are you doing? You bulking up for that?
Well, you know that I was lifting boxes, and I had a bunch of lines that I fired out.
You know what I fucking hate in that Spider-Man movie?
What?
I don't know who said it. It was. I don't know if it was because it was right after 9/11 or whatever it was. It was one of those things where it's like, was that the one I'm thinking of with the Sam Raimi one when they're like when he was trying to save them from going over the bridge and he's holding them and then the Green Goblin's coming at him and then all the New Yorkers started throwing. This is what gives New Yorkers a fucking bad like rap. Like these stupid movies that they start throwing the bottles at the Green Goblin and they're like, yo, you mess, and they always exaggerate the fucking voice too. The yo, you mess with Spidey, you're messing with New York. Boo!
It does, yes, that is horrible. I will say this
fucking boo!
It's an indefensibly shitty line, but that movie I think was delayed because of 9/11. I remember in the trailer, there was a moment where it's a really cool moment of a helicopter flying between the World Trade Center buildings, getting caught in a web. And it was Spider-Man's web. And they had to obviously change that or take it out of the movie. So it was a weird tone. However, that line stinks no matter when they released it.
That line is fucking horrible. There's certain things in movies that it's like, why do you make that choice?
Yeah, and I agree.
It's like if it's like a... If you're doing a movie out of like 4 stars, is that you do about a 4 stars? What do you do? A 5 stars? What do you do?
4 star movie, yeah.
All right, let's say it's a 4 star movie. I'm taking away a star.
Let me ask you, Matt, your opinion. I wanted your opinion. There was a couple of, performance of the night was, of course, Vera and Tyson Nam over Odey Osborne. Did you see that, knockout in the first round? That was absolutely beautiful.
It was beautiful. And he noticed. Let me get the names here. Let me get the where I am. Da-da-da-da-da. Let me catch up to you.
Odey.
Okay, hold on. Numbers. Odey Osborne. You're right, Jimmy. Yeah,
that's right.
He's seen Odey. Looked at he showed it first. It's like almost like he showed his hand when Nam was coming in at him. He showed that jumping knee already.
Yeah.
So he showed like, all right, look, this is what I'm looking to do. That's what's good about feints. When you do like a feint, like you're going to feint, like you see a guy react like, okay, oh, he's looking to uppercut. Or you see him react like, oh, he's looking to sprawl. And that shows you to set up your next move. So when he seen Odey fake that knee, that was beautiful how he came in and he fucked. And what did he hit him with again? Was it a right hand or a left hook? It was a right hand, I believe. I think it was a big right.
I'm playing it back in my head. I don't remember.
Gerald Mershon, I believe, was a left hook. What he
oh yeah, beautiful round three submission. That was really I thought of you, and that happened as I always do when there's a sub.
Well, I mean, what I like about we're gonna talk about Mershon in a second.
It was a right hand, by the way. We're hearing
it was a right hand with Nam. Tyson Nam looked awesome, but Odey Osborne too, man. There's a lot of killers on this undercard that lost, but this is what you got to remember: to hurt somebody, you got to beat in and get hurt. So what I noticed with a few of these guys and. They'll learn from it. Is when you get hurt and you try to fire back, could be good. You could catch him. Now you're going to win.
Sure.
Or else, listen, too close or too far. Let's weather this. Let's fucking weather this. Because you seen that with, which fight was it I'm thinking of? The Josh Quinlan defeated
Jason Witt. Yeah.
Let me look. Yeah, was that the one I'm thinking of?
Is that the one? Let me ask you back. I was going to mention that. Was that the one where he was knocked out and he jumped down to throw another punch and just didn't? He stopped himself because he saw that it was out. That was my favorite moment of the night.
Okay.
Is that the fight I'm thinking of, Josh Quinlan?
Yes, that's the one you're thinking of. And that's not the one I was thinking of. I'm sorry. Okay. Josh Quinlan, no, he just landed out. I mean, that was
beautiful.
Shit. Beautiful, beautiful. Right hand that just fucking dropped him. Right, that was a right hand. Yes,
yeah, and he went in for another punch and he stopped himself, which I thought was awesome.
Yes, beautiful.
I hate when they hit a guy who's laying there. And I know in the heat of battle, sometimes it's really hard to stop yourself and the ref's got to stop it. But he was so fucking clearly out there. I was really happy that he stopped it.
The fights I was thinking about was the Lipsky fight. Lipsky fight. And Benavidez. And
Gabriel Benitez, yes, over Oliveros, yep.
That one, okay. Both those fights, they were hurt. When they got their opponent hurt, they stayed on them. The opponent, both of them, Oliveros, did I say that right?
Yep.
And Lipsky, they stood their ground while they were hurt, and they fired back.
Yeah,
that's what warriors do. But guess what you're doing? You're falling on your sword now. Yep. Because you get that pride in you, like, oh, you hurt me? No, I'm not hurt. I'm going to hurt you. And they don't look bad with their form, but they're a second off now, half a second, because they're still a little out. Benitez, man, he had him hurt, and then he had him measured, man. But I really like what happened. But I like when he kneed him, and they broke it up, and he goes, yeah, I didn't kneed him. I didn't like that didn't land. Like I didn't do him dirty. Like that didn't, like, he had a big fuck you attitude in there. And right after that, they touched gloves and that's when he just put it on him. Fuck. But Oliveros was throwing a lot of wild shit before he got caught. He was. So I could see him wanting to put on a show and
right.
it ultimately it cost him. Listen, guys, it's okay to be in those ball burners and exchanges, but you gotta survive the fight first. You get hurt, you get in trouble. Before looking to hurt your opponent too close or too far, play the distance game. That's just a message to all the up-and-comers, Jimmy.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear. And crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful, helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. I have an opinion question for you, Matt, because they're saying Alexander Volkanovsky is going to plan on being a backup for 280, the lightweight title fight. I love this guy's drive. You know, he's such a phenomenal featherweight, but you know, if he has to fight Charles Oliveira, how does he do in that fight? If again, let's say, you know, Makhachev, you know, trips on his shoelace and they need a replacement and he happens to be the guy, does he get the shot? And if he does, how does he do?
Him versus
a Charles Oliveira, if they decided to do that.
Oh, would it be versus Oliveira or either one?
Well, I mean, I guess either one, but I mean, if it's against Makhachev, it's not going to be for the belt, I don't think. Oliveira's a champion.
Why not? The belt's vacant. He doesn't have.
Oh, God, you're right. You're absolutely right. They're fighting for a vacant because he didn't make weight last time. Yes, you're correct. You're correct that they're fighting for the vacant. Oh, God, yeah.
He fights either one of them. This is what I think. I think he's got a. Believe it or not, I think he's got a better chance with Oliveira than Makhachev. Yeah. I think Makhachev will get him down. And I think Oliveira will try to strike with him and maybe accept the takedown. He's got those little limbs. Well, I don't know, man. That's a rough – either one.
Yeah.
But you know what, dude? I'm sick of doubting Volkowski.
But this is a weight chip. This is not even doubting him. It's almost like when, as great as Adesanya is against Blachowicz, that weight does make a difference. People, guys can pretend it doesn't, but when you have a heavier guy on you, it does make a difference. It's just different than what he's used to in the cage. And it made a difference for Adesanya.
Yeah, I think either one's a very, very, very tough matchup for Volkanovski. Yeah. But I think Volkanovski is just, yeah, we got to think of something else for him, man. He went through that fucking division.
Who do you think wins that fight, though? Makhachev or Oliveira?
It's funny, man, because they keep Khabib and Islam, they keep pointing out that, you know, the guy's been finished 7 times. He might have got a lot of finishes, but he's also been finished a lot of times.
Yeah.
But it almost seems like he's a different guy now. He really does. He seems like a different fighter. There's no quitting him for sure. But nobody as of late has been looking to challenge him on the floor. The only guy that I mean, people say, I forgot who it was. They go, oh, but listen, they should trust in themselves down there more, because Kevin Lee was doing well with him down there until he got caught. I don't agree. I think Kevin Lee was in a fucking, from the second that hit the floor, he was a step behind. And even when he thought he was gaining space, he was getting in jeopardy. And there was no resting time for him down there. He was in some shit. You know what I mean? He was getting like a pretzel all over the place. And then he'd get back to his feet, just have a problem. Islam is going to be way more advanced on the floor, and he's not going to be afraid. So can he do enough to weather the onslaught of the arsenal that is Charles Oliveira's guard, which is probably one of the best guards in the UFC, if not the best guard? That's the question. So guys who are less skilled in grappling has done it.
Yeah.
Paul Felder's done it. And that's not a shit I'm not.
No, I know what you're saying.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure Paul would even tell you Islam's probably a better grappler.
Of course. But,
you know, so they know that's what they recognize. Do you think it's easy to take down Dan Hooker and fucking Kimura him, or to do the same shit to Drew Dober? He's a fucking beast. But me personally, I want to see that fucking, I want to see that ground exchange. I don't need to see the next fucking submission only tournament and this and that. I want to see that ground display. I want to see what happens there. I want to see that combat sambo from Dagestan then versus the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, both at the highest level. Sign me up, Jimmy. I want to see that shit.
And I also want to say, too, I agree with Usman. Kamaru lashed out at USADA for this stupid requirement of getting up at 5 a.m. And Alexander Volkanovski said that a USADA rep woke him up for a drug test 4 hours before he had to get up on the day of his second bout against Holloway. How the fuck are they allowed to do that? Like, I understand that you have to drug test it, but how is there not a better way to do that other than to disrupt guys' workout schedule, or especially on the day of a fight? It's insanity. And look, I get it. They probably want to get the first piss of the day, but I don't know. I'm sure the second piss of the day would still have samples in it.
Yeah, but what about even security? What about if somebody was at my house and I'm at my family and they ring the bell at like 5 a.m. and they wake everybody up and they're saying that you saw it? I mean, I'm going to be like, dude, you might get, I mean, you're on my, who's ringing the bell at fucking, it's fucking, that is.
Well, they know it can happen, though. I guess in a fighter, I guess when you're in camp or whatever, or you know it can happen.
Yeah,
but that Volkanovski thing annoyed me so much that these assholes went and woke him up 4 hours before he had to be up.
That's not good.
Cost him 4 hours of sleep so the guy could take his piss instead of waiting until he gets up?
Jimmy, I agree with you, man. I agree with you. I don't like that shit either, you know? So, but, you know, hey, I still think either one of those fights is fucking brutal for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I love his guts. You know, but you know, but by the way, with Ariane Lipsky and Priscilla Cachera. You're making me second guess myself.
I thought you were saying it and you weren't saying it right. I apologize, Cachera.
Okay. I'll tell you, Priscilla looked like she just looked. I mean, she was just confident, went forward, and She made short work of Lipsky, man. And, you know, and Lipsky, she's going to learn from that, you know. You don't have to always fire back, especially when you get hurt. Get some distance. Get your wits about. Get on the bike for a second. Take a little stroll around the cage. Devin Clark versus Azamat Mirzakhanov. Thank you.
Yeah, I had total faith.
Thank you. Devin Clark is a great athlete. He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
But with that, man, you gotta, you can't, if you're not getting him down and this guy's not respecting you, give him something to respect, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Now fucking give him something to respect. That's what you gotta do. You gotta fucking let loose with those fucking tight kicks. If he blocks him, he's gonna break his fucking forearms. You know why? Because you're getting hunted in there, Jimmy. Devin Clark was getting hunted. He was on him. He was pursuing him. And he got him.
Yeah.
You know? And I like that Azamat, man. He's looking like a fucking beast. And he was not going to be denied. You know? And I want to see what's next for him. I like him a lot. I like him a lot. Excuse me. Did you talk about Yasmin yet?
No.
Talk about him now.
What would you like? did you agree with the decision or did you not agree with the decision?
People were complaining about this. Some people didn't like it, right? Yeah. I thought that...
But no matter what the decision is, it sounds like people don't like it. There's always... look, I complained earlier about the scoring in the Landwehr fight.
Yeah, I thought it was just, if you ask me, and you did ask me.
I did.
So, you know, I thought 30-27 was the right call.
Okay.
But that's me. Maybe I'm wrong, you know?
No, I mean, I understand that, but I am always befuddled. When two guys see a 29-28, it's a little easier for me to go, all right, one guy gave that one round, but it's what really drives me fucking crazy is when it's 30-27, 30-27, 27-30. Then I'm like, how are these both refs or both judges, sorry, seeing this so polar opposite? It's not right. It's almost like confusing balls and strikes in baseball.
Hey, listen, when I won the Ultimate Fighter, it was 30-27. Two judges gave me 30-27 and one judge gave Chris Lytle 30-27.
That's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, but it changed my life. So
it probably should have been 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. I'm sure you won one of those rounds.
You know what? Hey, listen, I might have went on to having a title shot and shocking the world. And
yes, you did.
Making myself, put myself in history. But my good buddy Chris Lytle got a fucking ton of bonuses on Fighter Nights after that. And he won the rematch with me. And he did give me this money scar. Look at the scar. Right here. Right.
Yeah.
Look at that good memory, scar. Yeah. My buddy, I look so cool with that scar. Thank you to the great Chris Lytle. What else we got, Casper?
Well, I want to say that they're talking about Prochazka Glover 2 in talks for 282 in December. They're saying that there's been a verbal agreement from both sides. And this is why, how do you not love Paddy Pimblett? It says he's around 200 pounds. And he's looking at December for a return in Vegas. You gotta love Paddy Pimblett.
That's good. Listen to me. I was very, very similar in a sense where I blow up. And I told you Dana's favorite joke, especially when he had his little cronies around, and he'd go, and then he'd see me, and he'd make sure everybody heard. And even if they didn't think it was funny, they'd laugh at me. And he'd go, "Oh, you Matt. He looks like you ate Matt Serra." And all those guys are like when an evil villain would say something, I'd go, and I'd be sitting there like, ooh.
Well, I would have let Dana know how I objected to that joke.
I didn't like the joke.
I wouldn't have either.
I was, because I was fat. So,
do you think Paddy ever goes up? He said as he gets older and he starts fighting ranked opponents, he's going to keep the weight down. But depending on why you're getting so heavy, food is not that, I mean, again, fighters do a good job of it, but it's not that easy to just change all habits if you're binging. So I wonder if he ever decides to move up.
I don't think so. But Jimmy, I used to be a fatty like that. But now that I'm not, like, fighting, there was a time when I got done fighting and my wife, you know, having kids and stuff. And I was a meatball. I don't think you were really with me when I was really fat, though. Was I?
No, I wasn't. No.
Well, I mean, I wasn't exactly walking around with that. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy, touch it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Touch it. Okay. Anyway. Jimmy, you know what? Listen, normally I shit on my good friend Dean Thomas. You know, I make fun of him. He's got two first names and sometimes he dresses funny. But when he does something good, I like to fucking let him know. Have you ever seen Dean Thomas? Got producers, I'm putting you to work. Go to Dean Thomas's Instagram and play for us his impersonation of Kamaru Usman. I want to hear it. I want to hear it on this fucking show.
I didn't know Dean did one. I'm not surprised.
Listen to me. It's good. Dean Thomas, I want to hear it and hopefully see it, guys. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to see it.
Let's put these motherfuckers to work. Sorry, Antonio.
I did not know he did one, but I'm not surprised.
Are you ready?
And by the way, to answer, hold on. David Onama did take the fight on short notice. We mentioned that before, Matt. And I just am so stupid. I didn't look back at the answer. He last fought July 9th. So, yeah.
Wait, who took it on late notice?
Onama.
Now, listen, that's very important to point out, Jimmy, because yep. Onama, even, listen, they had a fight of the night. No. They did get fight of the night, right? Onama and Nate?
I believe so.
They got a bonus, but I think they did.
I'll check. Hold on. I'm just going to scroll back.
It was a fantastic fight, and he was doing phenomenal, but he gassed out. He did gas out. What if he didn't gas out?
Right.
You know what I mean? So let's give him a lot of props, man. Oh, day.
That was fight of the night.
It was. Now, listen, get back to this.
Let's see this thing. He looks like him. I'll say that. Maybe I'm just saying that because he's wearing the same kind of shirt and glasses.
Listen, what's up?
It's the pound for pound king, Kimura Usman.
Kimura Usman.
Give a shout out to USADA for coming by and testing me at 5 o'clock this morning, interrupting my fourth workout. I'm sure y'all heard of my brother Muhammad. He just won the Ultimate Fighter. So I wanted to congratulate him for being my brother. And to the barber who tried to mess up my hairline, I broke your face. I broke your face. I broke your face. Make sure y'all watch my fight next week in Salt Lake City. I'm taking on Eve Edwards.
Hey, what? Look at the smile.
Yeah. Come
on. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, I broke your face. He is fun. Listen, all day long, I'll shit on that guy. That was great.
Yeah.
That was fucking great. If I had an applause button, I'd be doing it for Dean Thomas. That was fun. I like it. Come on, man.
It was very nice.
Jeez, Dean Thomas. I loved it. I fucking loved it, man. Oh,
well, Matt. Oh,
guess what else I loved?
What? You
ready?
Yep.
You do it for me, though. Start me off.
Matt's Movie Minute.
That's me. Listen, I saw Bullet Train. Me and my wife, first of all, we went to this theater near us. We used to go to when we were dating. We didn't go there in a while. They didn't have the fucking, it's an old school theater, man, where I'm like, what the fuck? It was like, you know, when people can still kick your seats and shit. It usually now you got those seats with the lounge chairs. It's impossible for anybody to really, the only thing that's annoying is maybe a screen or two, like people
right.
Check their phones. But now anyway, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, it does a little bit, but there was nobody behind us, but I didn't like that. But the movie, Jimmy, the movie, listen, one word, three letters, F-U-N, fun. For the minute it gets going. Now, Brad Pitt, he plays like a hitman that's kind of like trying to like, not like reinvent himself. He's trying to he's got a therapist. He's trying to like work through it, like to be a better person type of thing. So he's kind of trying to find his zen. And it's just one of these movies that's like over the top where you have to like, it's not realistic, obviously. It's like over the top violence, like,
yeah,
almost like a come to life Japanese anime type movie,
right?
Like,
right, right,
Japanese type movies that are like the violence is like far out and crazy but fun, you know. But what I liked about it, which really got me, what really like took me, I expected that type of movie from the trailer, like something like over the top with the action. But what really got me was how a character, like another assassin or whoever, they get introduced and really they go through their backstory in a series of like clips of ding, 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 ding. So right. Also you caught up to this character. And then next thing you know, 5 minutes later, that same character might die. It's crazy. So it's like, it was like very entertaining. It was very entertaining. It was, I think it was pretty long, but it was one of those movies that just kept going, that like kept you interested. And it was fun. It was a very fun movie. Lighthearted, but a lot of action. And I like the different characters, the different relationships. And then it kind of has those things where it kind of all ties in at the end.
Yeah.
Bullet Train with Brad Pitt.
Okay, I'll see it.
You could do worse.
That's Matt, this was a delight.
To me, always. Always. You know, maybe you have a terrace, right? A terrace?
Yes.
You know.
You want to come over?
I just get some vitamin D.
And I don't get some sun.
I don't mean dick. I mean, I only because Jimmy, it's good for you. And you know, I love you.
I hope so. I'm tomorrow, Wednesday night, I'm going to be here in the city at the Fat Black Pussycat. Next Monday, I'm going to be seeing Matt finally. Long Beach, I will be performing on Monday night. That's next Monday.
It's next Monday? Like the day next I get there back. I'm going to go to Marab's fight. You know, that I'll talk to you. But Rob's fighting the great Jose Aldo.
Yes, he is. When is that fight?
Fucking Saturday, bro.
It is this Saturday. Okay. And where is the fight?
Salt Lake City, man.
So you'll be back Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be back Sunday. And then where is your thing? In Long Beach?
Long Beach, New York. Yeah.
Me and the missus, we want the VIP treatment, Jimmy.
You'll always get the VIP treatment.
Really? What is that, though? Is it
I don't know. I haven't determined yet.
We'll figure it out. I was only kidding about your complexion. You look, Jimmy, you always look.
I look fat and pale. You're right. I look like Marlon Brando on the Island of Dr. Moreau.
But you don't look like this. Not like this. You don't look bad. But when I see your clips on your YouTube, maybe the lighting's better.
It's a stage lighting.
And I'm very tan.
Yes, you look good.
There's no reason for me to do this, though.
Matt Serra's available on Cameo.
And, I'll be here all day. Jimmy, you're one of my BFFs. I'll talk to you in a few days. Bye, good time. Bye, everybody. Are you done? Are you done plugging?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. And this was a great one.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, pal.